Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorton. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we got a great show for you today. If you want to call, 323-870-3857. And the big one has been signed, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But first, we're going to get started with DAZN, Lee Wood versus Mauricio Lara for the WBA featherweight title rematch. Beeb, I had Lee Wood in the first fight. I took Lee Wood. Beeb, he was winning that fight before he got caught. And I think he just got lazy. He just got caught, and that happens, man. Not this time. Lee Wood wins a unanimous decision over Mauricio Lara by the scores of 118-109 twice, 116-111. Wood looked exactly like he did the first fight, man. He just completely dominated him, man. He knocked Lara down in the second round. That was a picture-perfect uppercut he hit him with. Mauricio Lara deserved, you know, I tell you what, he deserved this loss. This fight actually almost didn't even happen. He came in 4 pounds heavy for this fight. Almost four pounds heavy. You know, I'm like, come on, man. How do you do that? Like, how do you have a camp? Your weight is supposed to be, they weighed him on Thursday or Wednesday and said he wasn't going to make weight. Came in, like I said, 4 pounds heavy for this fight. Ben Davidson, trainer for Lee Wood, said he wasn't sure he was going to let Lee Wood fight. I was shocked. Yeah. I was surprised that this fight went on. I'll be honest, man, because everybody knows Lara, you know, Lara's got heavy hands. Lara's the one that put him away last time. Now he's 3-4 pounds heavier. That's a huge difference. Yeah. You know, you saw him at the weigh-in, man. It's not like he's fat. He's 129 pounds. You know, it's not like, you know, he just didn't work that off. And that's a problem. You know, especially that's why we have weight classes, man. And, you know, cooler heads, I guess, prevailed, and I imagine quite a bit of money was put on Lee Wood's desk, and the fight went on, man.
Yeah.
Lara just looked awful. He was completely outclassed. I thought he was outclassed last time, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. I said that he was outboxing last time. He got caught. This time the fight played out exactly like the last one did, except with no knockout this time. Couldn't be happier for Lee Wood, man. He's one of my favorite fighters. He's always involved in exciting fights. He's got that dog in him. You know what I mean? He doesn't stop. He wants to win, and you can see it, man. You can see it. He's just a exciting fighter. He's a good boxer when he has to be. Man, I can't say anything more about this guy, man.
Yeah, he's a very clever fighter. He's a smart fighter. He's a crafty fighter. And as you said, he's exciting as well. So you got all that tied into one. He gives you a little bit of everything. And you can tell that he must have, after that loss, went back to the drawing board, went home, and just watched that fight 1,000 times. He had to have, because I'll tell you this. It looked like he knew everything that Lara was going to do against him. He had an answer for everything. He timed him perfectly, had that right hand glued to the side of his face. You can count on your hand the amount of times that left hook landed from Lara. And it was a thing of beauty just watching Lee Wood to time him and measure him from the outside and the right hand, the uppercuts, the body shots. And he didn't let up. He didn't let up. And there was times when he had to hold his ground and he dug his feet into the canvas and he fought, bent his knees and he fought, right? So this was an all-around phenomenal performance from Lee Wood. And I don't want to make it about what Mauricio Lara didn't do or he wasn't prepared or he was out of shape or whatever the case may be. He was drained from trying to make weight or wasn't a great camp. None of that matters. Fight night, all bets are off, right? You stepped into that squared circle and it's all on you, right? Because Lee Wood, had a lot to overcome too psychologically. You don't get knocked out like that and just snap your fingers and everything is back to normal.
That's it.
You got to rebuild your confidence. You got to go back to the drawing board. You got to pick yourself back up and you got to move forward and drive on. So Lee Wood had to overcome a lot in this fight, and he did that and then some. So kudos to Lee Wood. Phenomenal performance. And we'll see how he matches up against Alberto Lopez, if that's a future fight down the road, because that's another man we're going to be talking about very shortly, and what a phenomenal performance he had.
You know, I'm going to go, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go a step further, because, you know, we talk about Mauricio Lara's weight, we talk about the camp and everything like that, possibly having a bad camp or whatever. I'm going to go a step further. This was the same Mauricio Lara that we saw last time. He didn't change anything. Lee Wood is the one that adapted. Mauricio Lara, I don't care what he weighed last night. It was the same Mauricio Lara we saw. And they said, oh, he looks lethargic and everything. I think, you know, I'll be honest, man. I think Lee Wood made him lethargic. He made him look like that. I think Lee Wood made him fight the fight he fought. You know, because to me, that Lara looked the same as last time. And that fight looked a lot like the last fight with a few adjustments, obviously. But that fight looked a lot like the last fight. I always said I thought Wood was the better fighter, and yeah, and he showed it last night, man.
And Lara's kind of that ambush type guy, loves to dart, and you know it's crazy. He reminds me a tad bit of Jean Pascal. Jean Pascal would like leap in and throw those looping shots. His shots are a tad bit tighter than Jean Pascal's, and he may be a little bit more refined than Jean Pascal. But the way they move in and out, and they kind of load up with that left hook, and this was a case of just Lee Wood knowing and timing when this guy's going to come at me.
Yeah.
Right? That jab was like, it had radar on it, because he knew. He landed it. So when you know when you're on.
Yes.
When your shots are just every time. They're just landing perfectly. These weren't grazing shots. You know, these weren't, oh, I don't know if these are landing. No, these were all clean, landed shots in a fight that wasn't hard to score at all. This is what you call a decisive victory, okay?
Why so? They weren't making, I gotta screw this fight up, okay?
No one could have screwed this one up, right? Okay? They've already... Even he would have been able to handle this one. Well, this is what you call a clear-cut decision for the folks at home.
That's right. That's right. So what's up next for Lee Wood? Well, obviously, Michael Conlan fighting Luis Alberto Lopez. So Michael Conlan projected to win in that fight, was going to rematch Lee Wood in that fight of the year. That was fight of the year last year, him and Conlan. No questions asked, fight of the year. It didn't work out that way, Beeb. Did not work out that way at all, and I was surprised. I was really shocked at this one. Luis Alberto Lopez retained his IBF featherweight title by knockout of Michael Conlan in the fifth round. It was a perfect right hook that put Conlan out clean in the fifth. This was a really good fight while it lasted, man. I thought Conlan, you know, listen, man, I thought Conlan was doing well.
Okay.
I gave him three of the first five. You know, I gave him three of those rounds, man. Conlan was good. He was fast. I gave Conlan the two, Lopez the third, Conlan the fourth, and then obviously what happened in the fifth, you know.
Yeah.
He's good. He's fast. But, Beeb, you let me know, why does he keep his hands that low? As soon as I saw him come out and he had his hands that low, I'm like, man, that's a dangerous thing to do, man. That is just a dangerous way to fight.
Funny when you say that, Eric, because you thought Conlan was going to win. I thought Conlan was going to win. On the round table last Thursday, I was the only person that thought Conlan was going to win. And I thought the difference was going to be his hand and foot speed and his movement. What I love from Conlan is like he's another guy that moves in and out very well, doesn't stand long in the pocket. He runs his combinations real quick and gets out of there. Either just slides back and steps off to the side, or he pivots out, and he's really good at, you know, timing his opponent. He knows just when to pull back and reset, right? And when he does pull back and reset, He's so quick on his feet that that transition is flawless. But here's the thing. What people were saying last week on the roundtable, this guy, Alberto Lopez, has phenomenal timing. He throws short, compact, crisp punches, not a lot of wasted motion from this guy. This guy is efficient. What I like to call fighters efficient, meaning, you know, they get a lot out of a little. They're not loading up. They're not pulling back on shots. They're just shooting shots. And there's no telegraphing whatsoever. Not a lot of wasted motion. Not a lot of putting up. These guys, I like to call them snipers. And apparently, last night, Alberto Lopez fell into that category of being a sniper. That's just what he was.
I'll tell you what, he sure did, man. When he went in that fifth round and he caught him, I tell you, you know what set up is that left to the body. He set it up with that body shot, and then he countered with that right hook. And Conlon didn't see it, you know. And as soon as Conlon hit the deck, man, that white towel came in from the corner, man. It was a great win for Lopez. You know, Conlon was winning, you know, there was a funny thing. Conlon was winning both fights that he got knocked out in. He was winning the Lee Wood fight, and he was winning this fight. You know, but again, it's the fifth round. Don't look like a crazy about it. But he was doing well. I thought he was doing well.
Do you think, because you asked me, why does he keep his hands low? Do you think he has a little bit too much confidence in his speed?
Yeah.
That's probably what it is, right? He thinks he's so quick enough that he could, you know, he could do these little things and not have to tighten up in certain areas. He believes that his legs will carry him out of danger every time.
You know,
yeah, he believes he's that quick.
When you watch somebody in the shell defense, like the Philly shell or the Mayweather shoulder roll or whatever, you'll see one hand up and one hand down, okay? But you never see him bolt that low, or you never see that left hand drop that low. You know, the only person I ever watched, like all the guys from the clunk back in the 80s used to carry that left hand real low, that jab hand real low. Conlon carries like both hands low.
Like Sergio Martinez. Remember Sergio Martinez?
Yeah.
Do that? Yeah.
And I don't understand that, you know. And Conlon, unfortunately, for being such a good boxer and his speed and everything, he doesn't have a lot of power.
No.
So
no.
For him to kind of play that game with his hands down and, you know, and you don't have that kind of power, when somebody can just come in and walk it, you know what I mean? And, you know, you got those inside fighters. This guy just picked him. He just got him, man. He just It was a picture perfect right hand. Did you see when he threw that hook or that right hand, the torque behind that right hand, you could see that guy's hips move perfect.
Do you see how short, compact, and deliberate, like he went like that? It was like a split second, 6-inch punch like that. It was beautiful. It was a thing of beauty.
And he turned that thing over, man. I mean, he really did.
The leverage he got on that was incredible.
You know, and you look at that shot, you know, and if you just looked at his fist hitting his face, you'd be like, that didn't really look that hard. When you looked at the full body shot and you see him torque, you knew it was over. You knew he got, I mean, he was out. As soon as he hit the deck, that towel came flying in. You know, so that was, you know. So what do you think? Let's start with Conlon here first. What do you think he does here, man?
He's got to rebuild. He's got to take some soft fights now, right?
Yeah. You know, I don't want to say he's too heavy for the weight class, but is he too heavy for the weight class? Is it possible he can move down? That's a big, you know, that's a good cut right there. I don't know.
I don't know what they do with him right now. They're definitely going to have to give him a couple soft ones.
Yeah, because they can't move him up in weight. You know what I mean? You can't move him up in weight.
There's no way he can move up.
No. And now the logical choice would be to take Luis Alberto Lopez against Lee Wood and try to unify those titles. That makes the most sense. You know, and that's a good fight. Who do you favor in that fight?
Between him and Lopez, you're saying?
Lopez, yeah.
Everyone's saying Lopez, but I don't know, man. Like, Lee Wood's good, too. Oh, God.
You know the fight's going to take place in England.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think Lee Wood could outbox him. I think you would have some success on there. It's tough.
It's a tough fight.
It's really tough. I mean, here's the thing. Because Lopez scored such a thrilling knockout, automatically there's that halo effect, like, wow, this guy's bit. But, you know, we've seen Coleman get knocked out before. We've seen him make mistakes before. I think you'd probably have to favor Lopez in the fight. But
I would definitely favor Lopez in the fight.
But I do see a path to victory for Lee Wood, but I think you'd have to favor him. I'll tell you that guy, Lopez, I think the big difference is the power. It's the power.
That's a good equalizer,
and he's patient. He's patient too. He's not going to rush in and leap in with shots. He's a better fighter than Lara. He's a lot more skilled. He set shots up better. He got a good jab as well. He's a very good counter puncher. He's big. He's big and tall himself. He's not short like Lara. So yeah, I think you'd have to favor Lopez here.
Yeah. Jesus Sam said that Hearn said that Wood versus Warrington might be next.
Yeah.
You're probably right. That's probably going to happen next. I would favor Wood in there.
Yeah.
I think you need, this isn't a fight, though, I'll be honest, that needs to marinate.
Yeah.
They're not big enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, their name's not big enough to marinate this fight to make it big. You put him in England, he's going to sell it out. That's just the way those guys are over there, man.
I'll tell you, though, man, I do think there's a path to victory for Wood against Lopez.
I do, too.
I think you'd have to favor Lopez, but because of the power and the timing and just being all around very cagey. He's a very cagey fighter, Lopez.
Yeah.
He has a way of hitting you with those shots that you don't see. You know, and again, because those shots are coming from up and under, like dips, feints, and stuff, and boom, like the punch.
Yeah.
When you got a guy who moves like that, little herky jerk, dipping, ducking, you gotta time when those shots are coming off the feints. Gotta time when those short, crisp punches are gonna come off those subtle movements.
Yeah.
And that's very difficult. So those punches are being kind of camouflaged, right? They're like guided missiles, so to speak, where they're coming out of nowhere, those shots. And you don't know when those shots are coming out the gate. You don't know when those shots are coming out.
You know, I tell you what, I was surprised. That knockout, by the way, with Conor was in Belfast. They were fighting in Belfast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's way... Right in your home country, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually them guys are sky that. Listen, man, there ain't no guarantees here, man. I tell you
that
what.
That hurts more.
Wow.
That hurts more.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of guarantees, the Celtics down 0-3 to Miami have now come back and tied it, forcing a game 7 in Boston.
Do you want to know what happened this morning? They passed a new law in the state of Massachusetts. We can no longer be organ donors in this state anymore. You know why?
No.
Our hearts are too big. They will not fit in a normal person's chest cavity. And so is the hearts of the Boston Celtics. Because guess what? Our hearts are so big that we didn't give up on them. And you know what? They didn't give up on us either. And this is what champions are made of. You have your back, no, not up against the wall. You have your back nailed to the wall. I don't want to get too religious here, but I don't want to go that route. But you're up against the wall, nailed. You're nailed there. And you have to pull yourself off that wall, right? No one believed in him, right? No one believed in him. You have ringside Robbie, right? Mrs. Herrick is texting me today, right? showing me screenshots of orders that Robbie placed, all of a sudden buying Celtics hats, Celtics T-shirts, Celtics pennants. You know why he's doing that? Because the golden fake Warriors didn't come through for him. Now he wants to jump ship. He wants to jump ship like a Benedict Arnold, like the little sneak thief that he is. All of a sudden he wants to be a Boston Celtics fan. Sort of like when he threw Golovkin under the bus. And then he started rooting for Canelo. And then Canelo loses to Bivol. Then he throws Canelo under the bus. This guy is a fence jumper, right? He's a sandbagger. That's what he does.
Oh, come on.
And we're not welcoming. We're not going to welcome over here. We don't want you over here.
That's not.
We don't want you over here, man. We don't want you over here.
Haplotype. F the Celtics. I tell you what, if the Celtics do win, which I expect them to, I think this series, honestly, I think this is over. I think Miami, if they were going to win, should have won that game last night. They absolutely should have won that game last night and couldn't pull it out. Listen, they're going to win. I think Boston's going to win. Man, that Denver team is tough, though. Man, that Denver team is tough.
Yeah, but the basketball gods are watching us. The basketball gods are watching. The basketball gods are watching over the Boston Celtics, and I'm going to tell you why. Those refs. They were trying to take it from us.
Oh,
with those
stop.
those little ticky tax files.
Oh, they were breaking the rules, Steve.
Right? And then they call that carry. Michael Jordan spent his whole career dribbling the ball like that.
Oh.
This is playoff basketball.
Something like Michael Jordan.
Make a call like that. You're gonna make a call like that in the clutch. That was blasphemous. You can't do that.
Matter with you.
You can't do that.
Denver in six. Philly Drew says Denver in six. Where's Philly Drew's team at? Where's that 76ers team? Oh, they lost to Boston. That's right.
Sorry. Philly Drew's just salty because we
took
him out. He's salty because we took him out, man. I know how.
Don't worry about it, Philly Drew, man. Your team's out, but don't worry about it, man. You can come with the Cincinnati bandwagon. We got FCC over here. We got the Bengals, man. Don't worry about it, man. You got it. Don't worry about it. We'll let you on, man. Don't worry about it. Come on in for the big win.
That's right.
Beeb, on Sky Sports, I didn't see this fight because I couldn't find it anywhere. Sky Sports, Lawrence Okolie versus Chris Billingsmith. Just a complete tune-up for Okolie. Not so much. Chris Billingsmith scores a huge upset win. He won the WBO Cruiserweight title. Smith beats Lawrence Okolie by a majority decision. Scores were 112 even, 116-107, 115-108. Okolie was knocked down four times in this fight.
A point take,
and he got
one
points
judge
taken
had
away. He got point taken away. Yeah.
Now one judge had it a draw.
Yeah.
Right.
He was knocked down four times in there. Had points taken away, and how we saw that a draw. Don't know.
It was crazy.
Don't know. All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here, and then we're going to go to the phones. June 3rd in Detroit, Michigan, the Little Caesars Arena, Beeb. Clarissa Shields versus Marciela Cornejo. 10 rounds, 20 minutes to decide an undisputed women's middleweight championship.
I knew that was coming.
It's 20 minutes, right?
20 minutes. I know the 20 minutes.
It's 20 minutes. It's not 36, right? It's 20. 20 minutes, it's like a warm-up on a treadmill. 20 minutes, right? A 20 minutes, and we're going to crown an undisputed champion, right? Even, the women's matches in the UFC, 25 minutes, five-minute rounds.
That's right. That's right.
But instead, we got two-minute rounds over here.
I know.
I don't get it. Somebody want to help me out? I don't get it.
Bad luck. Bad luck for us.
Very bad luck. Well, I guess the women aren't good enough. That's what they're saying. I'm not saying
what?
That's what they're, I'm not saying it. That's what they're saying. We're two-minute rounds.
What? You can't do that now.
I think.
You got to curb that misogyny.
Not misogyny.
You
got to
curb that misogyny.
Do they fight
women are not good enough.
Are they good enough to fight 3 minutes?
Most certainly they
are. Then why aren't they doing it?
I got to blame the commissions.
You got to blame the commissions.
I'm not gonna take it out on the females. They're just following the rules that are set forth for them.
Yeah.
They have no control over it.
Well, anyway, if you want to watch a 20-minute main event, you can watch that on June 3rd on DAZN, which is, by the way, you're paying for, these great fights, like a 20-minute undisputed championship. There you go. All right, June 3rd. Let's talk about the real show on June 3rd.
Right.
Who cares about Clarissa Shields or phony opponent or whatever she got there, last-minute opponent? Nobody cares about that. Let me tell you.
Please.
Where the buck stops on June 3rd, baby. Title Town Zone. He's back, son. He's back. Adrian Broner versus top-rated contender, Bill Hutchinson. Pay-per-view. King Vision, baby. Don King and Adrian Broner make an unstoppable team. June 3rd, Miami, Florida. Pay-per-view. You got to see it. Guillermo Rigondeaux on the undercard versus Julian Aristuel. Top-rated contender. That's a dynamite fight right there. Alex Espondo versus Andres Vieira. Another dynamite fight. I never even thought I'd see these two in the same ring. Beeb, Adrian Broner, top-rated Bill Hutchinson. This is an uphill battle for Adrian Broner. I'll tell you that. Bill Hutchinson is a really good fighter. He can fight. He watches his P's and Q's in there. He's about offense. He's about defense. He's about that life, Beeb. He's about that life. But you're going against Title Town's own Adrian Broner, son. A.B. About billions, Adrian Broner.
That's right.
Beeb, this is, after I read you those three fights on that card, you tell me Don King ain't back? Is that what you're telling me?
You buying the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I'm buying a pay-per-view, son. You're talking about A.B. I don't care how much. Let me tell you what. Whatever they're charging for this pay-per-view right here isn't enough. Isn't enough. Not enough money. Not enough money. I want to pay double for whatever you're charging me because I'm going to be entertained that night. I'll tell you that right now.
You left me speechless. I don't know what to say.
You're darn right. You're talking about AB, son.
I can't come back from that.
Look at this. I'm at El Bialy's on that undercard. Nelson Machado's on the undercard. I mean, hello. How much do I need to get? And I'll go you one better. I'm going to go you one better. I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this right now. That pay-per-view right there. Right? That pay-per-view beats Devin Haney's pay-per-view. Beats the Devin Haney Lomachenko numbers. No question about it. Mark that down, okay. Son.
All right. See what Dan Raphael says.
Dan Raphael. What's he know about it? All of a sudden you're on Dan Raphael's bandwagon?
Never.
You always crush Dan Raphael.
Him and Coppinger, man. They're thick as thieves, them two.
All right, let's go back to the phones here. Robert, ringside Robert.
You guys are on a roll today. How are you?
What happened to your Golden State Warriors, Robert?
Hey, Beeb, why are you making up crap about me? I'm sitting here thinking, oh, my God, what in the world are you going
to
come up with next?
Do you want me to show the screenshots to the public? Do you really want me to show the screenshots to the public?
Yeah,
Mrs. Herrick
do.
And I share an Amazon account
exist.
Together, and
they
I saw
exist.
The latest purchases on the Amazon account, and you literally bought six Celtics T-shirts.
Did you really
well,
buy six?
Look,
how do you want the shirts?
He bought
look,
six.
Really?
Look, whether
and
you
he,
like it or not,
you know
whether
else
you
he
like
did?
It or not.
He
Beeb.
Bought a – he bought
well, – hey, are we going to – whether you like it or not, Boston is
don't
going
stop stuttering now that
Miami.
I get you on the ropes.
Boston
don't stop stuttering now that
Miami.
I told you.
Boston will be Denver. Period.
Boston, you think Boston's going to be Denver?
Yes, I think Boston's going to be Denver. Denver has never been
in
the
NBA. See how he jumps? You see what I said?
Denver has never been in the NBA.
I'm playing
Boston. He's a front runner, Eric.
I'm not jumping ship. My team is not in it. Okay, they were eliminated. They were eliminated.
He's a front runner.
They didn't deserve
Golden State Warriors could not
give me a break.
The Golden State Warriors cannot overcome it, like we can.
Golden State Warriors.
What happened to your Golden State Warriors? That's all I want to know.
They ran into a much better prepared Los Angeles Lakers team, period.
Well, guess what? You're lucky they didn't run into us. You're lucky they didn't run into the Green Machine.
Well, Beeb, what happened in 2022?
I don't know.
Thank you.
I mean, we don't look back.
We look forward, baby. We look forward.
We're forward-thinking people. We don't look at that. You want to start looking back and count championships? We got 18 of them. We got 18 of them. So don't even
go there. No, you're going to have 18.
You want to go back in the vault? You want to start digging in the crates and you want to look up records?
Give me a break.
We've got 18 titles.
Can we get on?
18.
Can we get on to why we're here, folks? Okay. First of all, Mauricio Lara, he needs to move up to 130 and see what he can do up there. He didn't look prepared yesterday. He didn't have his normal punch output. You could tell that the weight must have bothered him somewhat. But Lee Wood made several good adjustments, and I think Lee Wood will fight Warrington next. I think that's what they'll do. Lopez is no pushover, by the way. I think the winner of the Warrington Wood fight is going to have to deal with Lopez, and that ain't going to be easy. He's no picnic. Next Saturday, both of those cards stink to high heaven.
How dare you? How dare you?
Please.
These guys are doing the best they can. They're doing the best they can. They're getting paid, and you're just dumping all over the fight. Are you paying for the broader pay-per-view?
No.
You going to buy the broader pay-per-view, Robert?
No. I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to buy something that's going to turn out to be a disaster.
Well, that's subjective. I don't.
You know, look, next week sucks for boxing. I'm looking forward to June 10th when Josh Taylor and Teofimo Lopez fights. That's going to be a good fight.
A good fight on June 10th.
Yep.
That's going to be the fight, man.
Yep, that is.
Robbie, what do you think about Spence Crawford, man? Who do you like in that one?
I like Terrence Crawford. I've always thought Terrence Crawford would beat Errol Spence. I'm just worried because
Errol Spence.
Yeah, I'm just worried.
Keep going. That, Errol.
I know Errol. I said
you
know, Errol.
Like Golden State accent. He's got that Golden State accent. He's got that Golden State accent. I'm sorry, Robert. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm worried because Spence has been out of the ring for way too long, man. Crawford's been more active than Spence has, and that's why I like Crawford going into this fight. I don't know if it was such a hot idea for Spence to be out of the ring. The last time he fought was last April. You know, I don't think it's good for these guys to have long layoffs. Jack Catterall fought yesterday after 15 months. You know, these guys.
He looked good, didn't he? Look good.
Well, who's he fighting though? He was fighting a comeback fight, son.
I'm
telling you what. He didn't look good against Taylor, man, so I'm just saying. I mean, he didn't beat Taylor.
You know.
I had him winning by a point.
Yeah, I had Catterall winning also. So, but I don't like it when fighters take these long, protracted layoffs. Look at the heavyweights. Deontay Wilder hasn't been in the ring since October when he beat Hellenius, and there's no talk about him fighting anybody. I mean, I hate these long layoffs. If you're gonna be a serious contender for a title, I don't care what division it's in, you've got to be more active. I hate.
What about Fury, man? When's he gonna fight again, Rob?
That's another one. He fought in December. And you know, we're working on next week. It'll be June. We're working on a 6-month thing for him. I really don't like it when these guys do this crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
There it is.
You know, that's just my opinion. But the fight to look forward to, guys, is in Madison Square Garden on June 10th. Now, let's face it. We're gonna take next Saturday off.
Right. What do you like in that fight, Robert?
I like Josh Taylor to beat Lopez.
Me too.
Yeah, Josh. I think Josh Taylor wins big.
I think Josh Taylor wins.
And late, Frank, no, Teofimo hasn't looked the same. He has not looked the same since that loss.
And
he
frankly,
not the same fighter, and I don't know what's going on. Yeah.
And frankly, Eric, I don't like Lopez's attitude. He's been doing all kinds of crazy things. He needs to get away from his dad, and I don't know if he ever will. I don't think he's
what
ever going to be the.
What's he been doing? What's he been doing? I missed it.
He's been giving interviews saying he's not happy with ESPN and you know how they've been mistreating him. If they're mistreating
he's
you,
not
they
happy.
They wouldn't
he's
be.
He's not happy
away.
At his job.
Yeah,
boy,
exactly.
Who says that? You know, nobody says that. Everybody's happy
at
his job. Of course he's going to say that.
You know,
wouldn't you want more money? Are you happy at your job? No.
Hey. He hasn't worked in 40 years.
Stop. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. He knows what I was saying.
Yeah,
he
hasn't
worked
in
40 years.
Listen, you mean 4 years?
Yeah. But,
40.
You know.
40 years.
I don't know. When you're
job. He's doing a paper out.
Hey, when you're getting ready for a fight, though, guys, you really shouldn't be complaining about your, you know, promoter or your circumstances. You should be concentrating on getting ready for your fight. And I just don't like the interviews he's been giving.
Who's
going to
hype the fight, Robert? It's not like he's been going out and getting punched by the mountain again. I mean,
no.
He's got to hype up the fight.
What do you want these guys to, like, be choir boys and stuff? Like,
No,
like,
of course not.
What do you want, man?
The hell with it. I can't get anywhere with you. I think Taylor will win. My question is, if Taylor wins, is he finally going to move up? Or the whole talk of him moving up to 147, was that some kind of ploy to, get more money out of somebody? Because for the last year, all we heard was, oh, Taylor's going to move up. Taylor's going to move up. Well, he's never moved up. So is he going to move up after
this fight? It's a big
fight
for him.
I know.
Robert, this is a big money fight for him. Money fight. And after this, he definitely, I think he moves up because what else is left?
I think Regis Prograis is the best fighter in that weight class.
Well, he got beat by Josh Taylor, so.
I know. It was a close fight, though. One hell of a close fight.
I had
fight.
Taylor win him.
Yeah.
I had Taylor win him.
All right. Happy Memorial Day, everybody.
Robbie and I had pro.
All right, Robert, happy Memorial Day. And CN, thank you so much. He said Jack Catterall beat Josh Taylor, and it was a bad robbery. All right. Well, there you go.
It wasn't a robbery. It was a close one.
I am your leader, says Taylor will get robbed in Vegas. I never thought about that. No, I don't think he will. I really don't think he will. I think that fight is going to be pretty decisive. I don't think that's going to be one of those fights where we're like, oh, my God, this is so close. I think it's going to be pretty decisive.
I got a feeling Taylor's going to cause some separation in that fight. I think he's going to win.
I think so, too.
I don't think
anybody gets knocked out or anything like that. I would be surprised.
Yeah.
But, man.
I like Taylor in that fight.
Yeah, I do, too. All right. Area code 718. 718, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, guys? calling Raphael from New York.
Hey, how's it going, Raphael?
What's up, Raphael?
I'm doing good. Didn't call last week because I was on my way back from Vegas after watching the fight.
You don't need a doctor. You don't need a doctor's note. Don't worry.
I'm on the same boat with Rob. I'm just piggybacking on what he said. I mean, it seems like no one is really talking about the Josh Taylor and Teofimo fight. I feel like that's a really big fight, but it somehow we've been getting so much news about the upcoming fights that it somehow is being overshadowed. I feel like that's a really big fight, and that's going to determine or at least the landscape in the 140 division with Haney coming up and potentially other newcomers like Ryan Garcia and all the potential 140 fighters coming up. So that's a really big fight. Other than that, Crawford Spence, it's a really tough fight. Like I mentioned last time, it's a 50-50, but I feel like Spence is really, really fundamentally sound on his – there's a couple of good things that he does really, really well. He's very, very good balance. has a really good chin. So I'm going to have to lean on Spence on that one, even though I like the fact that Crawford is very dynamic and everything that he does, and he has a really high I'm not 100% sure if he gets a decision versus Spence. So we got to see.
Okay, interesting. It's one of the few people that is picking Spence that I've talked to. Well, this is my friend. My friend loves Spence too. So they like
a lot of people. Yeah, a lot of people I talk to like Spence also in that fight. And,
oh, do they really? Okay.
Yeah, and I'll tell you
that's
what.
That's a good thing about it.
It's not a gimme fight for either guy.
I like Crawford. I like Crawford as a fighter. I'm just saying that just pretty much with the eye test, looking at his previous fights, how he fights. It's a toss up, and if I have to rely on someone, it has to be someone that is very fundamentally sound and doing the right things in order to get that win. I understand that both of them pretty much are very high level, but number one, Crawford's 35. You know, sometimes people tend to age overnight. Sometimes we don't really see it, you know, until all of a sudden we do. And with Spence, you know, he doesn't really have to rely on those things that age overnight, which tends to be kind of like speed or explosiveness. A lot of the times, if you have a fighter that does a couple of things very well, that could take him a very long way. So that's the only reason why. But if it was the fight 3-4 years ago, I would have taken Crawford. That's how I see it.
There you go. There you go. All right, Rafael, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. 774, Massachusetts. Beeb, your area.
That's right. That's Haverhill.
774, you're live.
Hey, people, what's going on?
Georgie.
Where has he been?
On the lamb, I thought.
Listen, guys.
Did you get a weekend pass?
Hey, listen. Listen, guys, I know you have guys having a lot of fun, and I don't want to be that guy, but do you have a bell sound, a count of 10?
Unfortunately, no.
Bell? Don't you know?
No,
Well, okay, I just want to say if you guys send a prayer my way, because my girl passed away after 18 years of being together.
Sorry, man.
And I miss her so much.
I'm so sorry, man.
I'm really sorry, man.
So if you guys can pray for me, I'm not really like a religious person.
Absolutely.
Like that, but I would appreciate
problem,
it. And
Of course.
I just want to say to the woman that I love, that she's the queen of the world, that I miss you so much, and I can't wait to see you again, baby. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, Georgie. So sorry to hear that, man.
Very sorry to hear
that. My condolences, man.
Oh, that's awful.
That's horrible, man.
That was his girl died? Is that what he said? His wife or whatever?
I think it's his wife or his partner or something like
that.
I think he said, yeah. I'm so sorry, man.
That's
horrible.
Awful.
Sorry, Georgie.
Oh, man. That sucks. Very sorry to hear that, man. I hate hearing that stuff. You know what I mean?
I hate that stuff.
Ugh.
Horrible.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thoughts go out to Georgie, man, and he's always been a great part of the show, always been a friend of the show,
man.
And stuff like that. He always calls in regularly and stuff like that. We haven't heard from him in a little bit, but, you know, when I saw Massachusetts, I was like, that's got to be him. You know, who else is it going to be, you know?
Yeah.
But just when he picked up the phone, you could hear something was going on, too, you know. That sucks. That just sucks, man. Let's see here. TN, thank you so much. He said, God bless you, Georgie. Love you, brother. We're sending condolences. And that's from all of us, pretty much. Everybody who listens and everything like that. We all love Georgie. He's one of our favorites here. And he's going through a hard time, man. And
it was gut-wrenching to hear that, man.
It was.
That was so gut-wrenching.
It really was. That's awful.
You can hear the pain in his voice. It's so horrible.
You can hear that, yeah. It's just like, oh, man. I feel really bad for him. Ugh. Awful. All right, let's go back to the phones here. 773, you're live.
George.
773 is underwater.
Georgie, I heard you're really, really sorry about that, man. It hurt. It touched me when you said it. You could tell he was hurting me.
Yeah.
All I can say is you got to lean on Jesus Christ. That's the only one who can help you right now is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just to him, ask him why it happened, and he'll look down on you, he'll give you the answers. But death, it's part of life. It hurts, but as time goes on, it'll get better. It'll get better. Praying for you, praying for your family. But let's get to boxing. Babe, you know who you sounded like when you were bullying, oh boy, you sound like Biff from Star Wars. He sounds like Biff from Star Wars. Or not Star Wars, Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
What's his name? You're bullying.
Biff.
No, no, you're the caller.
Oh, Robert.
He's a regular. Oh, Robert. This is B. What are you doing? You want to do it? That's him. That's Biff. Oh, man. Absolutely. you're just a bully, man. You're a high school bully from the 80s. That's who you are, B. How dare you? Every single time I call in, listen to this show, I got to hear you degrading, belittling, talking down to...
You work for the Rescue League or something? Who are you, man? Who do you think you are?
Kevin comes in, he dumps on everybody, and then now he's, like, defending him.
All you do, isn't this the kettle calling the teapot black? All you do is shit on everyone when you call in. And you have the gall to call me a bully. Who don't you shit on is the question. Who don't you shit on?
You know what? I'm gonna leave it right here. Mick Conlon, I'll shit on Conlon's chin. I'll shit on Conlon's chin because every time this dude gets breathed on his chin, he does the stanky leg. And he looks like he got shot with a sniper. I mean, I keep hearing that, well, it's all, you don't understand it, with the placement and the power of the punches and the whatever. No, man. When you get hit with punches and you react like that, your chin's gone. We've seen plenty of boxers get hit with clean punches, different angles, and right on the butt and this and that, and they don't react like that. When you get hit with a shot, and you go stiff before you hit the canvas, your chin is it's suspect. It's damaged. It's not what it needs to be at a high level. And that's what I think the problem with Colin is. We've seen with that fight with Wood, the first thing he did, he got hit, and he's freaking limp, falling out of the cage. And I was looking back at the fight, like, what the fuck? What did he even get hit with? I couldn't even tell what he got hit with. And this fight, it was like another grazing shot. And next thing you know, he's limp on the canvas, smacking his head off the canvas.
Grazing shot. Did you see that shot?
It was like a big shot. That's what people
Dude,
say.
No.
Oh, it was such a big shot. No.
It was a huge shot.
How many uppercuts have you been hit like
that you've
walked away from?
To me, it wasn't. I didn't really think that was an uppercut, though. I thought it was more of a hook.
Like a 45.
It was more of a hook shot, I thought.
It was an arm punch. It was not an arm punch.
I want to know how many uppercuts you've been hit like that and you've walked away from. Because judging by the way you talk, you've probably been laid off a few times yourself.
Listen, babe. The chin's gone. The chin's gone. It is what it is. I like Conlon. I had high hopes for him, but no, it's
well, you're not talking about that. Talking like you like him at all.
I did, but I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you're a realist.
Are you gonna be a bandwagon jumper like Robert? You're just gonna jump ship. You guys love throwing people away, throwing people to the wolves once they don't meet your expectations. People like you are never gonna be happy.
Oh.
I could picture you going home one day, right? And your wife probably puts three sugars in the coffee instead of four. And you'll probably flip out and you'll be like,
baby,
I'm done with her. One little mistake, and it's over with you. You have
no
tolerance for anybody.
You're rambling now, Beep. Now you're rambling. Let me get to this other point.
I'm rambling.
Devin Haney.
I'm rambling with facts is what I'm doing. I'm rambling with facts, and you don't like it.
Here he goes, sounding like Biff from Back to the Future. He sounded like Biff again.
So Biff sounds like me.
He sounded like facts, like Biff. That's Biff. You
60
mother.
Years. I'm almost 60 years old. Biff doesn't. Biff sounds like me. I don't sound like Biff. I'm older than Biff.
You got to admit, it sounds just like Biff. Holy crap. No, I want to talk about Devin Haney.
I won't admit anything.
Your takes on Devin Haney.
Go ahead.
I can't believe you're like a hardcore, man. You know everything about the intricates of boxing. And you can't see what's going on here? You got three young black Americans, big mouth.
Oh, don't start with this.
Please don't go this route.
Oh, God. Don't do this.
A quiet, humble Ukrainian. On his last leg, 35 years old, probably got maybe two more years left.
Here we go.
So what do you think's happening?
Here we go.
What do you think the deal is?
Oh, my God.
They're trying to set up for the future.
Oh,
you think
Jesus.
It's the same thing that happened with Triple G. It's the same thing that happened with Triple G. They're trying to look for the future. It's a business. And that's exactly what happened. I can't believe you can't see that.
Oh, my
and
God.
And the fact that you're, don't say that. Acting like that has no bearing on the judges or commissions or whatnot, you're absolutely clueless. I mean, the one commission is trying to not even sanction people. One of the best fighters in the world, one of the best. Beeb, I'm trying to make a really important point. All you can hear is you, like.
I didn't say anything. Eric was laughing.
It
wasn't
me.
Eric was laughing.
You can
Eric
see
was laughing.
You
was me.
We can see people. You were completely laughing. Why don't you let him make a point?
I can hear his background noise, and it's distracting. So just give it, just zip it for like 30 seconds. All right, just 30 seconds. That's all I'm asking. I'm making a really important point about the state of boxing. So just relax for a second. They won't even try to sanction Bibble. You hear what the president said, Suleiman? Oh, we're not going to put that fight together. Well. This is one of the best fucking fighters in the world, and you don't want to sanction him and put a fight together? And that's the state of boxing. And you don't think they're not going to favor one fighter over the other when they make it obvious, plain as day? I mean, boxing is it's a joke of a sport. It's a reason why it's a niche sport. It's a niche sport. It's a fucking clown show. It's a circus. It's a circus act. It's a traveling circus. Where are we going next? Pick up. Because it's time to put on a clown show. Woohoo!
All right, Kevin, we're going to get going, man. Thank you so much. You're 100% right, Kevin. You're always 100%.
Kevin,
he's always 100% right.
You have a right. You have a right to your own truth.
Oh, stop it, Pete. What's the matter with you? Thank you very much, D-Style Boxing. Paid advertisement. Subscribe to this channel, Ringside Reporter and D-Style Boxing, to catch the roundtable every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Beep, tell us about the roundtable.
And make sure you check out the roundtable every Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern time. We have a rotating schedule. 1 week it's on my channel. 1 week it's on D-Style's channel. It will be on D-Style's channel next week, or this week, I should say. So make sure you check us out, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you go to D-Style Boxing's channel on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time.
There you go. Well, it's a great show too, by the way. If you haven't caught that show, you need to catch it. It's good. CN, thank you so much. He said Tom Frank knew Colin was overrated, hence why they wheeled him out every St. Paddy's Day against nobodies. The highlight of his career was swearing at Olympic judges. I wish I could disagree. I got to be honest. I wish I could disagree here, man. But the highlight of his career has been that moment with the judges, you know, in the Olympics, you know. Pro hasn't really panned out for him too much. Not what they expected, I guess. CN, thank you so much. He said the WBC refused to sanction Bivol against Canelo. WBC might as well be the Mexican cartel at this point. The corruption is unreal. Yeah, I don't like the fact that they won't sanction Bivol. I really
it bothers
don't.
Me a lot.
It bothers me
and
a
I've,
lot. Too.
And I've advocated. Samson, I was interviewing Samson on this very channel, and he talked about it. And I'm not going to argue and fight with him. I said, Samson, I respectfully disagree with you. I don't think politics and boxing should be mixed.
No.
I don't think Bivol has anything to do with what's going on over there in Russia.
It has nothing to do with it.
And I don't think you should be punished for it.
You know, and we're in a, you know, aren't we in a country where, you know, you can disagree with people? I don't understand. Like, if you want to be on the other side, you want to be on the other side of the Ukrainian war, you can be there.
You can defend if you want.
Right. It doesn't mean you don't have to be with the majority here. If this is, you know, you believe Russia's right or you believe you're getting, who cares? What does that have to do with boxing? Nothing. Not a thing.
Zero.
Nothing.
Zero.
Yeah, break. And doesn't, Bivol doesn't even live in Russia, does he?
Lives in California.
He lives in California. He lives in California. If he said
so
to go to Russia and have a fight in Russia, that would be an away game for him.
I guess now he has to, like, do some type of, give some type of explanation why the WBC should let him fight, whatever. And that's translation. What that means is, oh, if you fight the guy that we want you to fight and it's a big money fight, then we'll sanction it then.
It's ridiculous.
We're pick,
you know what? And,
we're
going to
pick
what?
And choose.
And he's going to have a problem now, and Suleiman's going to have a problem, because what's going to happen is Canelo's going to say, I want that fight, and you're going to be forced to sanction it because Canelo's your father in this instance. He's the one who's carrying the WBC now.
He's setting a precedent now, Suleiman, and it's gonna come back to
and
bite him.
It's gonna
him
come back to bite him, especially when that fight already happened and they're lobbying for that fight again.
Yeah.
And then what? And then he's gonna win your title.
Yeah.
If he beats Canelo, he's gonna win your title. And now you have a Russian who you said you would not sanction holding your belt. And how does that make you look?
And you look better like be Russian. Better be Russian too, but they're saying, oh, because he's lived a great portion of his life recently in Canada, it doesn't matter, whatever. The way they pick and choose how they want to enforce things is ridiculous, man. It's just ridiculous.
It really is. And it's not just the WBC. I always dump on the WBC because they're the biggest. They're all like this. They are all
like that.
They're all like that. I mean, give me a break. All like that. All right, Beeb, let's talk about it. News and rumors here. Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford, finally official. The fight is
beautiful
done.
Fight.
Scheduled for July 29th at T-Mobile in Las Vegas. It will be a Showtime pay-per-view, and each fighter is set to earn at least an eight-figure payday. It is a two-fight deal for Crawford in the PBC. There is a two-way rematch clause for this fight. Beeb, this is the biggest fight since Mayweather-Pacquiao, and I really don't even consider Mayweather-Pacquiao that, you know, I consider that a big event, not a big fight.
Okay.
Leonard Hearns was a big fight because you had two guys that were undefeated, and that was, to me, that was the biggest welterweight fight there is.
Yeah. I see where you're going with. You're talking about significant
fights. Significant fights. That Mayweather-Pacquiao was, that expiration date was way past it. That was way past the expiration date. But I will tell you this. I think this fight is a little bit past the expiration date. They're both good. They're not in the, you know,
I'll tell you where I disagree with you respectfully and other people. Because we have not seen any signs of slippage, in my opinion, from either guy in their last couple fights. Their last couple fights, like, neither man has come close to losing in their last five or six fights. So we're looking at the age, and quite frankly, age is just a number. And I know that's the old cliche saying that people like to use.
I disagree.
Well, look at people. There are outliers. And sure. I think Spence and Crawford, in my opinion, and again, it's my opinion, I think they're outliers. LeBron James, another outlier. So you do come across fighters every now and then that are outliers, all right? And you heard the old saying, 33 is the new 23, or 43 is the new 33. So, because you have, you know, sports science, sports medicine, you have nutritionists now, you have strength and conditioning coaches, you got fighters being more strategic in the way they move throughout their career. It's a different ball game than it was, say, 20 years ago. But you're not the only one saying that it's a little bit past the expiration date. I don't know. I think it's going to be a barn burner of a fight. I think it's going to be a high intensity chess, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's already on BoxRec. I looked it up. It's definitely on BoxRec, so it's about as much as we can get. It's a done deal, man. I like Crawford in this fight. I think Crawford is just a bit more technical.
Yeah.
It's hard to. Errol Spence is a good body puncher. He's just a good fighter overall. But I'm gonna tell you where I think he goes wrong. I think he tries to fight He tries to beat you at your game. We've seen him do this before. We've seen him do this in fights. And he makes fights more difficult than they should be. You know, the Sean Porter fight, to me, is a perfect example of him trying to fight Sean Porter's fight, not fighting Errol Spence's fight. And he made that fight a lot closer than it should have been. Terrence Crawford doesn't do that. Terrence Crawford fights his fight, you know. And I think that's where I give him the advantage. That's where I give Crawford the advantage here. But make no mistake, this is a razor-thin fight. It wouldn't surprise me who wins.
Yeah. I'll tell you two areas where I think Crawford has the advantage. I think Crawford's quicker, but the hand speed is probably close and comparable. Where they really get separated, in my opinion, is the foot speed. I don't think Spence is the quickest guy on his feet, doesn't move as well, doesn't use as much as the ring as Crawford does, right? He likes to kind of move in straight lines more so. Regardless of him doing that, he's still very effective at what he does. Yeah. But Crawford's a little bit more versatile in the way he moves. He changes things up, gives you a lot of different looks.
He definitely gets hit more. I think Spence does get hit more.
Yeah.
I would like to see Spence have a better defense than he does, but he's who he is.
But here's where Spence tends to get hit, in my opinion. He's good from the outside. He's really good up close. Where he starts becoming vulnerable is in that mid-range.
Yeah.
And Crawford can fight outside, inside, and mid-range. I think where Crawford separates himself from Spence is, I think, the foot speed, foot movement, and being more effective in that mid-range area.
Yeah.
That's where Ugas, if you go back and watch that Ugas fight, that's where Ugas hurt Spence when he was in that mid-range area. He landed that beautiful right hand, little mid-range short right hand, you know, medium distance right hand, turned it over, snapped his head back. Why he didn't follow up, we'll never know, but he hurt Spence in that sequence, and he didn't follow up.
Well,
but
sometimes
that's
you
where,
can't follow up.
Sometimes
you just can't.
Yeah. It is
sometimes
what it is. I mean,
I don't see it until you see it on tape. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's funny, man. We always watch, and I always do this with football games and stuff, and soccer especially.
Sure.
You know, there's a clear path right there. You see it. He should have kicked it. Let me tell you what, when you're running and that ball is in front of you, it's a lot harder to do than you think it is, you know. On TV, it looks easy, you know. But
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but I know what you're talking about with Ugas, and I mean – Ugas was such a good – Errol Spence just made him look average, you know?
Yeah, once Spence started getting to him, it was a wrap. It was a wrap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who would you would favor Spence – not Spence, but Crawford in this one?
Yeah, I'm picking Crawford by knockout, actually. I think Crawford's –
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Crawford's not.
Do you think – okay, so – who has a better resume overall? I think Crawford has a better resume overall, but I think Spence has a better resume for sure at welter.
But we were saying the same thing about Ryan. We thought, at least I did. I thought Ryan had a better resume at lightweight, but Tank had a better resume overall.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we're
in that same situation again. You can argue, but again, Spence has a very, very good resume too. So, but I don't. I think because Crawford has more accolades, then people tend to look at him as more accomplished, and therefore his resume is better. But I don't know. Spence fought a lot of good names, man. A lot of decent guys.
A lot of good guys. Ugas, yeah. Danny Garcia, Sean Porter, Mikey Garcia, Ocampo, Lamont Peterson,
yeah.
Kell Brook. That's a pretty good streak of fighters right there.
Yeah.
That's nothing to sneeze at. You know, he's fought the best of the best in that division, and the only person he hasn't fought is Terrence Crawford. And also, too, he's won in every one of those. Everything was decisive. What was a split decision? It was let me see here. 116. Yeah, it looked like it was a split decision against Sean Porter, which I had Spence winning fairly comfortably, 8-4, you know. I didn't think it was close.
I had Spence winning 8-4 against Porter as well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think that fight was that close. I thought, you know, I thought that Errol Spence made the fight harder, though. I'll tell you that. I thought he made it harder for himself by trying to fight that style versus the style that we've seen him fight before.
Yeah.
You know, and keeping them at distance and stuff like that, going to the body, you know, and, you know, I don't know. I just thought that Shushan brings up a really good point. He said Bud is a nasty finisher, and he is, man. Once he gets you hurt, you're gone. He doesn't let you off.
That's correct.
He does not let you off, man. So to me, this is a, I mean, this is a pick'em fight. Who is favored in this fight? Have they put the odds on this yet?
Well, it's funny because on my FanDuel, they're both a -112. My friend, we were at the Wynn Casino on Saturday. Spence was a +105, and Crawford was like a -125. So some people have Crawford as a slight favorite. Other people have it like even.
That's going to go back and forth. It's going to go back.
Yeah, it's virtually a pick 'em if you think about it.
Let me tell you what. What do you – well, because Crawford is – wanting to go up in weight too. Spence is bigger than Crawford. And my guess is I think he's probably stronger. I think he's just bigger and stronger. You know, you look at he's fighting Charlo, he's sparring Charlo in there and everything like that. I think that he's probably a stronger guy than Crawford. Now, that doesn't make all the difference in the world, but in a fight like this, you start looking for little intangibles.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think Crawford grew into the weight very, very, very good, very well. Grew into the weight very well. And to me, they don't look that much different in size when you see them together, you know?
I will tell you this. I will tell you, you know what concerns me about Errol Spence is the time away from boxing. He almost reminds me of like a Mike Tyson, not to that extent. But, you know, his handlers always try to keep Tyson in the ring. You know what I mean? Because when he got out, there was always some kind of trouble, something always going on. You know, you had that convertible incident. Then he just got in a wreck recently where I guess a guy hit him. I guess some kid stole a car and hit him or whatever. He just seems to attract trouble outside the ring, you know. And we've heard, you know, that he likes to party and this and that. He looks, I don't know, if you saw him, I mean, he looks older than what he is. He looks like he's aged a ton just from this little, you know, just from the small, you know.
I think I look younger than him right now.
I absolutely do. You absolutely
do. I look younger than him right now.
Oh, you look younger than a lot of people. You look younger than me. I mean, that's not saying much, but, you know, I mean, just saying. You know.
You're in good shape, though. Don't say it's special.
True. That's very true. That's very true.
You know? As long as you don't start looking like Robbie at all, right?
Tell you what, you know.
The reason why Robbie don't come on camera, but go ahead.
Oh, that's cold-blooded, man. Why are you going to say that? Listen, come on, man.
What's cold?
Stop it.
I'll never take it back. But
you'll never take it back. Vasyl Lomachenko petitions the sanctioning bodies to be ranked number one. Listen, man, I don't mind this. I don't mind this.
Yeah.
He wasn't lobbying to overturn the decision. He just basically said, I want to fight again. I don't mind it. I hate rematches. This was a close fight. Haney needs to run this back.
Wow, if you say it, then that you hate.
I
no
hate
one
him.
Hates rematch.
I hate
but you like, but you want a rematch yet?
I think Haney needs to run this back because, you know, when I saw that fight again, and you know how big a fan I was of Haney, and I scored that fight for Lomachenko, and again, it's the fact that Haney won neither here nor there. It was. You can make a case for both fighters. It wasn't a robbery. I don't agree that it was a robbery. It just was. The decision was what it was.
Sure.
I think it was a close enough fight that we got to run this back, and we got to see. You know, was Haney just having an off night? Was Haney, you know, was Vasyl just that good? Is he just that good? I don't know. I want to see it. I don't mind him petitioning the sanctioning bodies for this rematch. I don't mind it at all.
Yeah.
And I think it's a better way to go about it than trying to overturn the decision. I always thought that was like a coward way to go. I always thought that, like, hey, whatever the judges say, I always say, hey, whatever the judges say is final. It doesn't matter if I say I won or I lost, you guys said it, and you guys have the final say. I would like a rematch, but in this case, he wants to be petitioned. I like the way he handled this. I really do. I thought it was a classy way to handle it.
I don't mind it. I mean, it's his right to do this. He can do it, right? Totally his right to do it.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. I would like to see a rematch, too. I don't mind rematch. I have nothing against rematch. I'd love to watch a rematch again. I enjoyed the fight.
It was a good
I enjoyed
fight.
The fight.
It was a very good fight.
Why not do it again? When a fight's that close and it's that good on top of it, it's a no-brainer to do a real
very entertaining fight. Yeah, very entertaining fight, man.
Sure.
Very entertaining fight.
Sure. I enjoyed it.
Speaking of Devin Haney, Devin Haney was fined $400,000, babe. $400,000 for that push at the weigh-in. That is a lot of money. That seems like an excessive amount of money. But if you think about it, he put that fight in jeopardy. Whenever you put your hands on somebody like that, you put that fight in jeopardy.
What I heard is they withheld $400,000 of his purse until they decide on how much they want to fine him. That's what I heard.
They shouldn't be allowed to do that. They really shouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to hold – if they're going to – I think it would be utterly ridiculous. Like, I guess when Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear, he got fined $3 million for that.
Yeah, that ain't chump change, son.
$3 million for that.
You know what? And I don't think – I'll be honest, man. I don't think he should have fought again after that. I really don't. That was a line that should have never been
drawn. That was that egregious, you're saying, huh?
Absolutely. You don't put him in the ring anymore. That's it. You forfeited your right. At that point, you forfeit.
That was kind of nuts what he did, wasn't it?
Yeah. But Haney pushing that guy at the weigh-in, 400 is excessive. But, again, you
it's
put that fight in jeopardy.
Yeah, he really
you
did.
Put that fight in jeopardy. I don't know what to say why. You know when it's getting crazy, put guys in the middle of them, man. They don't need to be face-to-face. Or put a buffer in there or something. Let them get face-to-face and then separate them fast, you know?
I think I've never seen anyone that angry
is the worst.
At Lomachenko.
Yeah. He was scared is what it was. I believe that was nerves, fear, everything just balled up into one. And he's just, you know, you're cutting weight. You're a giant ball of emotion anyway. And, you know, but
yeah.
I'll tell you, man, that's, you know, $400,000, man. That's a lot. A lot of money, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Also, speaking of Haney and Loma, the pay-per-view did 150,000 buys. Not good. That's not good, babe.
Yeah, I mean, that's Dan Raphael's number. He announced it, like, 2 days after the fight. I don't know. I don't know if I want to run with that, but
I mean, look, listen. If he's got it at 150, how high is it going to go? You know what I mean? I mean, think about it. That first number. It's just like when you have a movie that opens up on the weekend or whenever it opens up. In the first week, it collected X amount of dollars. It doesn't go up after that. It always goes down. So if he had 150, what's the final number? 170, 160?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where he got the number from, but I'm gonna take it with a grain of salt until it's 100% confirmed. Let's just say that.
I mean, and you know what? We may not. It won't be confirmed because it's not going to hit the 200,000 mark. And if it doesn't hit that 200,000 mark, it's not getting confirmed.
Yeah,
because if it did good numbers, look at the fight, the tank fight.
Look at
that fight. That came out right now. When those numbers are good, it comes out immediately. When those numbers aren't good, we know where it is.
Oh, you're right.
Under 200.
Well, here's the thing, Eric. If the number is never refuted and it's just left the way it is, then
that's it.
Obviously, we have to come to the conclusion that it's probably not a good number.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, man. And King KO, I'll tell you what, man, I wish pay-per-view was dead. I really do. What's the pay-per-view? Who wants to pay for these fights, man?
For the right fight, pay-per-view is not dead.
AB is fighting this weekend. That's the right fight. That's the fight I'm willing to die on the hill for that fight. I might even fly to Miami. I might gas up the jet from Beeb Industries, fly out to Miami, watch the fight. You know what I mean? Because that's the way we're doing
it. Lois, don't let anyone use that jet this weekend. Eric wants to reserve it.
I got it reserved. I got it on lockdown, son. You want to ride that jet, you got to come through me. That's the way it is. Hannah Gabriels. You may be wondering why Clarissa Shields isn't fighting Hannah Gabriels. She's fighting somebody else. I wasn't wondering it because I really wasn't interested. But for those of you who are interested, right, Beeb? You're interested?
Please,
I'm just saying. I wasn't interested.
Hannah Gabriels.
I had to look up who Hannah Gabriels was.
I didn't know who she was.
I'm sure she
is. She's a wonderful young lady. Please.
She is. Pick a different sport. Hannah Gabriels apparently was set to fight Clarissa Shields in Detroit. As we all know, she failed her VADA test, Beeb. She tested positive for a testosterone derivative called Clostebol. Beeb, have you ever taken this? I know you've dabbled in steroids in the past. You've done the HGH thing, and you've done the DECA thing.
That's defamation. That's not the case.
I thought it was.
You saw it happen to Mrs. Herrick when she started dropping accusations.
I was just saying, I know that you fooled around with DECA Duraballin and everything like that.
You don't see her yapping at the mouth anymore ever since I put that out.
Yapping at the mouth?
I put that cease and desist on her. She ain't yapping at the mouth anymore.
Stop it. What's the matter with you? Cease and desist on Miss Herrick. What's wrong with you?
She's done.
Do you get side effects on the trend? Like when you're loading that trend, do you get like side effects and stuff on it?
I'm gonna tell you something about trend.
I bet you
people
will.
people that have taken that drug,
yes,
say it's literal hell. That's probably the worst thing you can take ever.
It's ridiculous. I hear people saying that all the time. They say like DECA and stuff like that is not, they don't give you that big of side effects, but they say that trend, you can't sleep. You're waking up sweating in the middle of the night for no reason.
Yeah.
And you can't go back to bed.
I don't really know anyone that's ever taken it. I've just heard people say it.
I've heard it on a lot of videos and stuff like that, that people that take it and they're just like, wow. Yeah. But I tell you what, the people who take it are huge.
They're big.
I mean, like, them guys are huge, man.
That's right.
But, Grant G, he's right. He said, it's meant for cattle. That and what was the other one? The one Canelo took, the Clenbuterol.
Clenbuterol, yeah.
Yeah, that was supposed to be for cattle as well. All that stuff, like the steroids and everything, that's where it derives from, is animals.
They get this because
it works on them.
They were actually, at one point, using clenbuterol for people who had asthma because it's like a bronchodilator. It opens up your bronchial tubes.
Yeah.
It's like a bronchodilator. I don't know.
D-Style said that Gabriel said it was medication for her dog when applying it to the dog. Somehow she caught it. And you know what? I haven't read that story, but I'm sure he's right. And I can see him saying that. Why don't you just, like, admit it? Like, because that's not going to transfer to you. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore, man.
Yeah, it's nonsense. I mean, I'll be honest, man. It's nonsense, right? She's not feeding her dog somewhere and it gets on her skin, then it gets inside of her, and then she tests positive for it. You know how dumb that sounds?
I don't know.
Stop it.
I feel bad because, like, I don't know. I don't know what to believe, man. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, but I don't know what to believe, man.
You know what it is?
But here's the thing.
You're soft. You believe everybody. You give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You believe everybody. And you know what? I'm going to break you of that. I'll tell you that right now.
I know. I do that, man.
That's right. Give everybody the benefit of the doubt. It's going to be hard.
Right.
It's going to be hard in the streets. Speaking of hard in the streets, 267, I believe this is Philly Drew.
What's
267,
up?
You're live.
What's
happening?
What's up, guys?
What happened to your Sixers, man?
Oh, stop it.
What happened to your Sixers? You got Robbie with the Golden Fake Warriors, right? And you got you with the 70 Chokers.
Embiid won the MVP.
You got the Philly 70 Chokers, and then you got...
You guys went down 0-3 to a play-in HC team that you don't even know if you guys are going to beat in Game 7.
Let me tell you what, man. That AC is pretty good. That AC is pretty good. They beat everybody.
But we handled the 70 chokers,
didn't we?
Hey, you guys might be the chokers next. Game 7, losing it at home to an AC team.
Don't
get a lot of pressure. I'm going to talk about
that. Yeah, that was kind of pressure. It's kind of switched now.
I want to talk some boxing now. I don't want Joe to Rory anymore. Joe's gonna get Rory eventually. I don't want him to get Rory too much while I'm on the phone. Let reality sink in. But now I'm gonna be honest. That Bivol crap, it's ridiculous. Like Bivol wasn't even born in Russia. First of all, like, how can we hold him not being sanctioned to fight for the WBC belt when Petrov was born in Russia? Is a Russian citizen. He's also a Canadian citizen. And Bivol lives in California now. And, like, they're both Russian citizens. Like, one also has a Canadian citizenship also. And Bivol, and the other one lives in California. Why can we not have these fights? Because they're both holding undisputed at light heavyweight. And if the only way Bivol says he's fighting Canelo again, if he's fighting for Canelo belts, and that's going to hold that fight up. It's really a shame now because we are holding politics in the boxing, and it's somewhat discriminating, and it's messed up that he, like, you're discriminated against him because of his nationality, and it's messed up. Like, the guy deserves to fight for both of these titles, and it's like these guys want to be corrupted and everything. He wants to try getting the limelight, sue him off to put the WBC over and everything. It's a disgrace. And the other thing with Crawford and Spence, I'm picking Crawford by late stoppage. I really think that the car accident, the detached retina, I think there's a lot of bad scar tissue on Errol Spence's eye, and I think Crawford's going to exploit that. And I think it's going to be more one-sided than think it is. I think Terrence Crawford is going to win this comfortably and stopping it late against Errol Spence.
I see the same. I think he's going to stop him, too, to be honest with you.
Like,
I'm picking him by stoppage.
Like, he's a body puncher, yeah, but the thing about it is, Terrence Crawford can easily counter somebody that goes for the body with an uppercut, and Terrence Crawford's on a 10-fight KO streak. Like, he did something Errol Spence couldn't do, stop Sean Porter. So I think that if people want to look at this fight, say, oh, sort of happened 4 years ago, Crawford might be too old now and everything, it doesn't seem like Crawford slowed down. If we're going to look at age and everything, look at the great Bernard Hopkins. He was in his late 40s, early 50s, and he was beating young champions in their prime and the light heavyweight division.
Hey, Drew.
And some of them.
Drew, tell him where he's from. Where's he from?
Philly.
It is. Philly,
not
baby.
Like
not quite Title Town. Not quite Title Town. But you're not bad. You're not bad.
Guess where Rocky Marciano was from?
Who?
Rocky Marciano. Guess where he was from?
Who's Rocky Marciano? Did he even fight? This is a boxing show, son. What, was he a basketball player or something? Nobody remembers that guy. Nobody remembers him, son.
It's blasphemous, please.
Hey, yo, Joe, where was Hurricane Peter McNeely from? Massachusetts.
He's from Medfield. He wasn't from the Boston
Medfield,
area.
Peter McNeely? He was from Medfield, Mass.
He wasn't from the Boston area, though. There's something about being born from the Boston area. You have a larger heart than most humans.
Yeah, Marvin Hagler was in Brockton, wasn't he?
That's Boston area, too.
It's Boston area now. It's Boston area. Entire Massachusetts is Boston area, right?
I mean it right.
I did. You're an idiot.
All you got to do is hit 93 salt. You're there. You're there in minutes. Peace.
All right, Drew, we're going to get running, my man. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. He's always good, man. He's picking Crawford by KO, man. A lot of it. You're picking him by KO too, man. What's up?
I am.
That's insane, man.
I just think that
I mean, it's such a big fight to pick a guy by KO for me anyway. It's a big fight. I've got to wait. I got to see the weigh-ins. You know how I am, but
I think he's just going to get to him, man. I think he's going to be able to hit him cleanly and more frequently than Spence hits him.
Yeah. D-Style says you can make an argument that Porter beat Spence. I guess you can. One of the judges had it his way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Why not?
I don't hate that. I don't hate that.
If
one of the judges had it that way, then you can absolutely make that argument.
Sure.
You know, I don't care what the other two judges said. If you got it that way, you can, you know, yeah, for sure. For sure.
It was a tight fight. I had it 8-4 for Spence, but I could see it the other way.
Before we sign off tonight, I just want to address the call we had earlier from Georgie. It kind of took us all by surprise. Took me by surprise. I know it took me by surprise, and now that I've kind of had a chance to kind of process it, we both know that you and I both know what it's like to lose somebody close to us. And it's a tough thing, man. It's just a tough thing.
It really is.
And, you know, for him to call us and let us know that, and for him to show that kind of, you know, I guess I felt really touched by that he felt obligated to call us and let us know that and ask for prayers and everything like that. And he will be getting them, you know, everybody out there. Thoughts and prayers come Georgie's way, man, for sure. That's a hard thing to go through, especially a wife or a partner. That's a tough, tough thing, man. It's a tough thing, man. And my heart goes out to Georgie, you know, his entire family and everything like that. It's a tough thing. You never know what to say, because the right thing, you can't say the right thing, because there is no right thing to say. The only thing that we can tell you is that we're with you. Anytime you need to talk, man, you can talk to us off air anytime you need to. We appreciate you. You're part of our family, man, that's for sure. So
absolutely.
God bless you, and God bless your family. So,
yeah. Great.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. You can find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And, guys, we will see you guys next week. And don't forget, Beeb has been doing a great job with the channel. If you guys haven't been checking this out, you guys need to. Make sure to subscribe. He's doing a great job. He's putting out the YouTube shorts now. He's doing a great job with it. They're great. They're like little snippets of the show. I love them. I love watching them, just a recap and everything like that. So absolutely, man. So check them out. And, guys, have a safe Memorial Day. Be safe, and we will catch you next week.